This is Tom Browning.
This is Pat Lackey.
This is Raquel Aurelia.
My name is Kurt Evans.
This is Rich Aurelia.
Hi, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is George Grant of the Cincinnati Reds, and welcome. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on red-hot-mama.com. This is episode number 98 on April 23rd of 2008. I'm your host, Amanda. With me is the crack technical staff, Johnny. Hi, Johnny.
Hello.
This week we're broadcasting from Field 6 behind what elementary school are we at?
I believe it's Town.
Town Elementary School.
Town Meadow.
Where our 6-year-old son is playing, is at his little league practice. So if you hear the noise of baseball going on and people in the bleachers, that's because we are in the bleachers and people who are watching their kids practice out on the field are sitting right here next to us. And even though it is really somewhat borderline inappropriate to be recording a podcast right here, it really seemed like it was very important for us to take opportunity.
We're just multitasking. Yep. You know, we've got things to do, places to go, people to be.
That's true. No, we are very busy. And especially now that the summer is
and
coming.
And, you know, I don't want to use that as an excuse for not doing something, so.
And, you know, there's big news today. Big news out of Redsland, anyway.
That's right. Norris Hopper has been placed on the disabled list.
Oh, my,
to make room.
Is he okay?
The Reds really felt the need to have 3 catchers on the roster.
There you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, Norris Hopper on the disabled list. You heard it here first.
Elbow inflammation. So he was doing something with that arm.
Good to know.
Too much.
So in case you're... And seems like there's something else. What else? Oh, yeah! Fired their general manager today. That was a pretty big surprise to get the text message in the as I was going into a meeting today.
Yeah.
They fired Krivsky!
I saw the news article at my computer at work, and I'm like feeling like this state of panic arising. They're like, oh my god, I got a real man. And I'm like, how do I do it? So I like reach to email you. I'm like, no, that's not fast enough. Then I go to your instant messenger. I'm like, it says idle. Crap.
That's
she's
right.
In a meeting. So then I like start to call you. I'm like, no, she's in a meeting.
Excuse me, I've got to take this. Johnny, what's wrong? Is something better? Oh, my God!
That's right.
Actually, I was right between meetings. I was walking into a meeting at the time that I received the text message, and the gasp that escaped my lips was very loud. I think you probably could have heard it down the hallway. Yeah. The woman who I was having the meeting with came in, and she looked at me a little
Are
bit
you
funny.
Okay?
I tried to text something back, but I was like too nervous. And
yeah.
I was like, oh my god, what do I do?
And my phone has been a little on the fritz, so I wasn't sure if you actually did message me back, because it doesn't work so well. But, you know, we're up for renewal, so.
That's right.
Upgrade.
Thank goodness.
Gotta get an upgrade.
We gotta get us one of those fancy phones, man. I'm looking forward to that. But Wayne Krivsky won't be getting a fancy phone anytime soon, or maybe he will, to be taking all the calls that teams are sure to be making to
yes.
get him on board with their organization.
Knocking down his door. You know, I think his greatest mistake was shaving the mustache.
That, you know, that was his greatest mistake from the very beginning.
From the very beginning, you know, he was doomed.
They showed that that picture of him.
And I never could find that again. I didn't save it at the time.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize that
he, like,
the transient nature of images like that.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know, because, you know, everything else on the internet, you know, you hear stories about people going on spring break and getting trashed, and then pictures of it being online and never being able to get rid of them, and they can keep them from getting jobs or whatever, which I'm not sure why an employer would care if you get trashed. In fact, my employer sponsors it sometimes, but well, no, not officially. Their alcohol policy is one drink that they'll have.
There you go.
But, you know, you find ways to get around that. But in any event,
one drink minimum.
that's what they say. I mean, not the people in charge. The people I work with say one drink minimum. But yeah, in any event,
He's gone. Ding dong.
You know, I guess that you look at the problems with the Reds organization, and yeah, he made some horrible contracts. Holy crap!
Yeah, that has to be one of the reasons for it. I mean, you look at Cormier, Mike Stanton, then
Juan Castro,
all those contracts were eaten in the last, year? So they're paying these guys.
Every single one of them, at the time they were making it, you look at the contract and what are you doing?
What are you doing? You've got young cheap guys who could do just as good of a job.
And you know, it's like, and yes, sign this guy for 1 year. Sign him for 1 year if you want. Sign him with 1 year with an option for a second, a team option. Don't sign him for 2 years with a player option for a third. This is insane.
And you know, Corey Patterson, who's entering a slump now, his major league contract, he was a great minor league spring training pickup because, you know, there's no risk there, but his major league contract is like for $3.5 million.
That's insane. Corey Patterson?
Right. Guess what? Norris Hopper does the same thing for much less. And so would Jay Bruce.
Yeah.
You know, it's just there was tons of things like that. Just complete mismanagement.
Just mistakes that were so obvious that I think any random blogger could have told you not to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even the bad ones.
Even the bad ones.
He could have told you not to do that. And then, so there was that. There was a little bit of people being picked up that didn't make any sense to be picked up. They weren't the best option.
You know, they're suffering from some right-handed bench power right now.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things they did in the offseason, just before the Rule 5, was they got released Jorge Cantu, who was, I believe, a switch hitter. Had some good, decent pop. He's landed with one of the Florida teams, I believe.
Uh-huh.
He's doing great. So they released him to make a pick on the Rule 5, I believe it was.
Yeah.
The person they picked, it was a stupid pick.
Yeah.
So basically they gave up that guy, who was a bona fide major leaguer.
For what turned out to be nothing at all.
For nothing.
Yeah. And then they picked up, like, Josh Vaughn, and he's not turning out to be so much.
I don't have as much problem with the Fogg signing as other
people I've read. But that's...
Because you can never have too much starting pitching, and with as bad as Homer Bailey was at the end of last year and as he was in spring training, you know, you couldn't have predicted Cueto and Volquez turning out so awesome.
That's true.
You need that depth, and you still do.
Well, I'm not... I'm not saying... I'm just saying that one hasn't worked out so well
in retrospect
or seeing how it's worked out. There's been actually a lot of signings. So, I mean, there's been the handful that have been fantastic.
Phillips is definitely his best move.
Oh, without a doubt.
But that was, like, his first handful of months?
Yeah. There's also been so many that have just been cryptic. Like, what were you even thinking doing a thing like that? So, yeah, I don't know... I can't say I'm really surprised.
No. The timing does seem a bit odd.
But the timing seems odd. No, on the other hand, you can say that the Reds have been losing like crazy. And like Castellani said, they weren't awesome last year either.
No.
So, I mean, and there was no question that Krivsky was at risk when brought Jocketty on in the offseason.
Well, that was pretty much like, this is going to happen at some point. Krivsky's in his last year. Here's the guy who's going to replace him if we need him to.
Well, and then do you think, here comes, they signed Jocketty. Krivsky had better get his freaking act together. He'd better, you know, really pay attention to what he's doing. And it sounds like he didn't really do that. And utterly failed to kiss up to Jocketty, which would have been the number one thing to do
definitely.
If he knew his politics.
Krivsky didn't seem to have any charisma at all. And he seemed to have a problem getting along with people. I mean, what was it, his first year when there was the mass exodus of all these excellent higher-level scouting people?
Yeah.
Like the guy, Johnny Alvarez, the guy who found and signed Johnny Cueto, driven out by Krivsky.
Yeah, it was. I remember that happening, and they were sort of hush hush about it. But there was like this. There was this rift. There was this politics or something going on. There was like cliques, and he had his guys. Speaking of his guys, it does make me wonder: is Baker next?
I don't know. Just previously, you know, they DFA'd Castro.
Yeah.
In favor of Jerry Hairston Jr.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like it made me wonder, like. Krivsky was, like, practically heartbroken.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, Castro, he's such a great person. Oh, this is really hard to do. And he makes any team he's on better. It's like it was his man crush, you know?
Well.
But then Baker, Hairston is definitely a Baker guy.
Well, but you,
so Krivsky
the thing
lost
is, though,
that battle.
That's true. But then again, they also, Hairston has also been better. So, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean it's an allegiance thing. It could have been actually the better player.
Well, Hairston is better than Castro. He's also slightly younger.
Yeah.
That always helps.
And, you know, they get to pay them both now.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But the thing is that, you know, very often when a general manager is removed, you know, his manager goes with him. And
that's true.
And there's, I mean, Baker's not exactly Krupski's manager. It's not like he swept in and immediately swept him in there. I mean, he's sort of a personality in and of himself.
Yeah.
But it's hard to say. I mean, I think if the team continues not to turn it around.
Yeah, I don't know. That'd be tough because he's, you know, first year of a 3-year deal.
I'm saying is if they bring on Lou Piniella as a special advisor, Baker
he's
better watch
still
out.
Still got a job.
For now.
That'd be funny, though, just you know, going through all the Cubs castaways.
Jackety had a job this time last year, too. if any big name manager were to come on as a special advisor, Baker better be watching his back.
That's right.
It's hard to say what's going on with the Reds, don't you think?
They seem to be casting about for direction or identity. I don't know. They're in such a constant state of flux.
Well,
I mean, you got to like a lot of their young guys, but... Well, that's another thing. You know, they've got all these young guys, so they're almost positioned to succeed now that Krupski's gone to let Jacquetty take all the credit.
Well, that could be. I think that probably people will know better than that. But well, I mean,
well, you know, much in the same way that Krupski got a lot of the credit for all these players that O'Brien had brought in.
That's true.
Like, you know, managers really need 3 to 5 years before you can tell if they're crap or not.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Reds have gotten to do that.
I don't.
And that's kind of a.
Well, no, that's not entirely true. They need 3 to 5 years to tell if their draft picks are
going
to work out.
True.
I mean, you can tell whether Juan Castro was a good signing, like, right away. Pretty much right away.
Yeah, I guess you can tell their evaluation of major league talent,
yeah.
Which O'Brien was bad at, Krupski slightly better.
But still.
Still bad.
Like, still bad, yeah. So I don't know, but, you know, you look at the, you look down the lineup, you look down what they've got going on there, and you can't say that there's really terribly weak spots. Clearly Patterson shouldn't be leading off. And there's some other things that are in the lineup that are a little bit questionable, I think. But
overall, you know, Baker has done anything
yeah.
Baker-ish.
Not so far. I wonder, now that Krupski's gone, will he start overworking the young pitchers? Because I wondered if it wasn't, like, if he didn't have, you know, if he wasn't on a short leash with,
yeah.
With the young pitchers. You know.
Yeah.
Get him out of there under 110 pitches or else, you know, Krupski's
we'll
actually
see.
Calling him in the dugout. Get him
well,
out of there.
It'll be something to watch.
Are they allowed to have cell phones in the dugout?
I don't know. That'd be funny.
Are
they allowed
like,
to have cell phones on the field? Texting. maybe in the outfield.
That would totally be something that would happen in like a major league movie or
oh,
something.
Oh, absolutely. Like, wait, hold on. I got to take this. Like a real prima donna player.
Yeah, total.
The ball falls next to him. I'm busy. Just, okay, what? And then, of course, he throws him out at second. One hot, beautiful throw.
Well, maybe, because he'd be very talented
yes.
as well as being a prima donna.
Yeah. It'd be beautiful.
So if they did, if they were to take out Dusty Baker, I think they'd bring back in McCannon. Probably not.
Probably not.
So yeah, is there anything... it's been an All-Reds program, but I think the firing of the general manager merits an All-Reds program.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that if any of the other major league teams were to fire their general manager, that we'd also have an all-whatever that team's podcast is. But then again, maybe not. You know, maybe this will herald the return of Red Hot Llama to mostly Reds stuff. Though I've really enjoyed following the other teams as
you
well.
You know, I don't think any of the other central and all-central GMs are as bad or as Krupski. Certainly none of them did a... as big of a thing as a trade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the Astros did trade away
special,
for Tejada, but the guys they traded weren't exactly like Kearns and Lopez. It wasn't a quarter of their starting.
So what you're saying is that there's only one general manager who has the Wayne Krupski Award named after him.
That's right.
The award for making the worst trade.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. One of the articles that I skimmed over, or saw a line from in my meeting-filled day when I didn't really have time to look into this at all, was talked about the consistency issue and how many managers, general managers, and interim
mm-hmm.
managers the team has gone through in the last few years, and said that part of the problem, the reason they can't succeed, has to do with their consistency. And I think that's a bunch of crap. What do you think?
I think there's some value to that, but I don't know.
What would the consistency give you? I mean, you're a good baseball team, you're a good baseball player, you're not. You hit. It's like what? Like Dunn was like so concerned that his general manager might be fired that he didn't know how to hit?
Yeah.
I mean, you play or you don't.
They're sensitive. You know this.
It's not like it becomes a different game depending on which manager. It's not like you, like the manager comes in and you're like, general manager comes in and you're like, oh, well, now I've got to learn all new rules.
I don't know that it
We've
would
got a bunch
matter.
Of different plays now.
No, I don't think it matters as much for the general manager or the upper front office stuff. I can see that being a problem with the field manager. But
maybe.
Because he'll be like telling you, the players to do different things or instituting different batting or pitching philosophies. However, with the general manager, you know, that's the drafting philosophies. That's the guy who decides what the strategy of the team overall is. And that, if you're changing every 2 years, you're never going to do anything.
Well, I'm...
Unless you have buckets of cash.
You mean the general manager?
The general
because
manager,
you're not going to be bringing in...
You're going to be drafting different things every year, and that's just not going to work out too well.
I don't think that's true. Why not? It's like, so you're a new general manager, and you look and see what you need, and you get the best thing that's available. So what?
Well, they're going to have different ideas of what's the best of the things
so
need.
So what?
I just don't think it would work out too well. I mean, it obviously hasn't for the Reds. So.
Well, it's like for 1 year we've got the best catcher available because his philosophy was that we needed more catchers, and the next year we got the best left fielder available because this guy's philosophy was that we needed good outfielders. I mean, unless you're going to get the Pirates philosophy where you're like, well, we're just going to get the guy we can sign, then I mean, what is there? How could this not work out?
You're going to place emphasis on different things. You're going to like different players, and then everyone in the minor leagues will be changed too. So these players who were drafted when different things were emphasized are going to have to completely change their approach, or just be shuffled off because the new regime doesn't like them. That would be mine.
Well, if they were shuffled off because the new regime didn't like them, then I guess there would be some validity to that. Other than that, I think this is crap. Because I think... because baseball's baseball. And, I mean, if you're signing the best players no matter what your philosophy is, now then consistency isn't going to help you. If you've got a good philosophy, and it's different than another good philosophy, who cares which one you're using? And using it year after year, so what? If you have a bad philosophy in there, well, obviously, having it in there for a long amount of time isn't going to help you either.
That's true.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, I would say a good, consistent philosophy would be better than a bad, consistent philosophy any day.
Why is this guy having the kid stand 3 feet away from... 4 feet away from home plate? That kid's arms are, like, 2.5 feet long.
Eight.
Not even that.
So maybe he's throwing a brush back.
Okay, that's better.
Oh.
Maybe... Anyway,
chin music to the
6-year-old. Winter's on his booty in the outfield.
He never pays attention.
Anyway, what were we talking about a second ago? I'm sorry, I got distracted by the baseball that was going on. Oh, we were complaining about. I was bitching about the idea that consistency matters in a team's success.
It has some importance, but a lot of people place more importance on it than it really probably does.
Well, I mean, yeah.
It's a concern, but it's not really... I wouldn't think it'd be an overriding concern for a reason not to hire a guy you didn't think was doing a good job anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, look at all the consistency that the Pirates had all that time. And
under Littlefield, yeah.
Yeah, that didn't get them anywhere.
Yeah.
Hang on, go shout at our child to stop throwing his mitt up in the air.
Okay. Or I can yell at him something like, how about this? Stop doing that, you're getting a belt when you get home. would that work? Would that be good?
I just hope the kid, I hope the batter hits it right to him so that he misses it when he... Or maybe I hope he doesn't, because that would be embarrassing to me.
It would learn him.
Because I'm a parent. I'm just for him to do it all up.
Well.
Anyway.
Shall we wrap this up?
I think it's probably about
time. Bold, bright new future for the Reds under the former... Cardinals GM with the former Cubs manager.
You know, we just take the cast-offs of every other central team.
I just hope Littlefield doesn't get a job.
So. Oh. He'll be special advisor before you know it.
Right. That's a cheery thought.
Well, this has been fun. Now we got to go yell at our child to stop throwing his mitt up in the air because he's in left field and he needs to pay attention.
He's just, you know, working on being the next Dunn. Or Carlos Lee, whatever. I don't have to be all Reds.
Oh, before we wrap up, we should say that the next podcast that you'll hear is our special dual cast with the people from MasterCast that we recorded while we were in Houston a few weeks ago. So be on the lookout for that. And until then, keep on hanging in there, and we'll see you at the ballpark.
Let us know what you think about the podcast at iTunes, and share your thoughts about the humorous NL Central on the blog at red-hot-mava.com or on our comment line at 206-600-1734. That's 206-600-1734.